Welcome to Facebook Live. We are here in the festival studio at the Virginia Film Festival in the Media Center of the Community Idea Stations on the downtown Charlottesville Mall. The hustle and the bustle of the film festival happening outside. I'm Sean McCord. My guests are, I'm putting my glasses on so I can be sure to get your names right, Carolyn Slaughter and Sarah Elizabeth Timmons. And you were both part of a Women in Film panel this morning. Actually, it just finished, right?
Yeah.
Just like moments ago. And then you were also the writer-director of a film, Lamb. And Sarah Elizabeth, you are the producer, Lamb, which screens before This Changes Everything, which is when?
Tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Tomorrow at 1 p.m. Yeah. Thank you very much, because I didn't have that written down. Tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Piedmont Community College.
Yeah.
Up at the Dickinson Center at PVCC. Yeah. Excellent. Thank
Perfect.
You. I'm going to write that down. Remember that. So tell us a little bit about the panel, Women in Film, and what was the impetus for it, and what was the discussion like?
Sure.
You leave that.
Well, I think... obviously, women in film has been an issue that has really been brought to the forefront in the last year with the hashtag MeToo movement and everything that's happened.
Almost exactly a year since the MeToo movement really burst out.
Yep, it was October 6th, actually, of last year. So we're still within that period. And I think it was really, really smart for the organizers of the film festival to recognize that this was a topic that a lot of people were discussing and are curious what's going on in the industry, what can we do to help change it, and what are filmmakers that are currently have films in the festival and that are making film in Virginia, how are they addressing it, whether it's through their work or through how they present themselves or dealing with people in the industry. So it was a really great discussion. And Lamb, we actually showed at the beginning of the discussion because it kind of sets the stage for a lot of the topics that we talked about.
Well, since you open the door, let's talk a little bit about Lamb. What's the what's the film about?
Lamb is about the female assistants that led victims up to perpetrators' hotel rooms. Not naming names, but it was based on it was inspired by a New York Times article written by Megan Toohey and Jen Cantor that sort of launched the Me Too movement. And it's showing. The theme is women sacrificing women, and the conversation that it led to was women empowering women, because the Me Too movement is so big and so gray, and we can't figure out sort of where it's all going. But one simple thing that we can do and one simple act is just to support one another as women. So that was sort of what we discussed at the panel, which was really cool, because it didn't become a panel about victimization. It became a panel about how we can change and activate something new and sort of special.
Well, and we look at the hashtag. One of the discussions that we've had is everyone talks about hashtag MeToo.
Yeah.
And in producing and writing this film, it was, okay, I think the discussion is more hashtag WeToo. What do we do collectively? Because, you know, traditionally, historically, across all industries, oftentimes there's been one spot at a table for a woman, you know, or in the boardroom or that executive. So I think it developed this mentality of women that were competing against each other for that one spot. And you know, you step back and go, okay, well, how we all elevate each other together as a group, you know, that's probably our quickest way to progress and to change things versus sacrificing each other.
And also, we tried to show that the assistants, these female assistants that were leading the victims, were not, they're victims themselves, and also or, you know, sort of these accomplices to, you know, they sort of helped to sacrifice. So it was this conversation about, are they victims or are they, what is the term again?
Accomplices
to the complicity machine.
That's a lot to accomplish in 6 minutes.
And that was what was so cool. People were like, it felt so much longer because we really, it was the walk to sort of the hotel room. So you're really in that, and you're sort of the, and that's what I wanted as the filmmaker, was for you to feel like you were experiencing this. You were the third person on the ride, but you're the one who gets out. So
the film that we're talking about, specifically Lamb, screens at 1 o'clock Saturday at PVCC before the screening of This Changes Everything. And then you screened it today as part of the Women in Film panel. Tell us how that discussion went and what kind of feedback you got from people who were there.
A really nice comment that we got from this one woman was it was a soft way to approach the subject matter, because it opened up, it was room for conversation and not just a lot of finger pointing. And she's like, as someone who was a Me Too survivor, she was like, I really appreciated seeing you be able to broach the subject in a way that wasn't so harsh and painful, but it was cathartic and healing.
Well, and one thing that there were several women on the panel, several of them have films at the festival as well, and I think collectively we all agreed that we all see our positions as filmmakers as an opportunity to promote change and make a difference through the stories that we tell, and not just through the stories we decide to tell, but how we tell them and the perspective that we bring. So it's quite the responsibility, and we talked about that a lot in the panel too, that we have to put subject matter up there that maybe doesn't even tell you how to think or try to change your opinion on something, but it educates you and it prompts you to maybe think a little bit different than you had before you had walked in to the film. And we also talked a little bit on the panel as well about our responsibility to, you know, how we portray women in film is actually changing society as a whole. You know, women are always the objects and the victims and don't have any substance. That's what our little girls are growing up seeing, and those are their role models. And that's how little boys are learning how to act towards women and whether to respect them. So, you know, changing the narrative not only as to how we see women and the roles they have on screen, but then also, you know, if every film is made by a man, we're missing a female perspective, or we're seeing the male perspective of a female situation.
Right.
So we're doing ourselves a disservice. So, you know, we talked a lot about that and how film, women in film is actually women as a whole in society and how that affects things.
So you two are obviously collaborators on LAM, but the other women filmmakers who were on the panel with you, had you met them before? And if not, did you find that you already had a common language to talk about some of these ideas?
Yeah, it was really cool because we'd all come here with different films, and it was the same language, which for me was really gratifying. We live in Atlanta, they live in LA, one of them lives in Charlottesville, and so all going up there and coming at this from different places, we all were at this place of like, this is exciting. It's an exciting time because things are really moving, and we are all speaking a common language, which is, I don't know, it just it made sense that we would all be up there together today.
But it was also nice. Everyone just wanted to join together. We all felt like a part of a collective tribe. And everybody was positive. It's not like, woe is us, and oh, by the way, we hate men. That's not what it's about. It's more, you know, this is exciting. Now is the time people are listening, so let's keep talking.
Yeah.
Coming together and creating your own opportunities.
Right. Yeah. Right. And telling the stories, like the next project I'm working on is actually about this theme of sacrifice that LAM delves into, but from what the male sacrifice, that idea of male sacrifice, because it is a We Too movement in that too, and we wanted to really include men in it. We need to rise up together. And that was really cool that that was brought up as well, and that it wasn't just so female-centric.
I think we specifically said, and one of the audience members said, you know, she's talking about feminism. And we're like, well, it's not really feminism anymore. We see it more as humanism. It's a human movement. We can all relate. You and I relate.
Just treat everybody as a fellow human being.
Right.
Exactly. It's how radical.
It's the golden rule. It's that simple, really.
But as artists, I think our job is to see people as humans and be able to paint that picture. And so we're lucky we're a step above a lot of people who are able to have that empathy for human nature.
Well, how long have you been working film, Caroline?
This is my first short narrative.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really exciting for me because to get this reaction from it and to be hitting something that's sort of a soft spot in society right now and an impetus for change, I'm like, whoa, this is a lot. It's a lot of responsibility, but it's also exciting to see, to have people come up to me afterwards and say it impacted them.
Well, how did LAM come about?
From the Sarah Elizabeth, I called her last year around this time, and I'd been listening to Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and she was interviewing Jen Cantor and Megan Toohey, the New York Times writers, and they were talking about these assistants that, you know, led these victims up to Harvey Weinstein, up to someone's hotel room, and also talking about how these women also these assistants also harassed the women, and they were like, these female assistants. And I was like, female assistants. That's where I got the idea. I was like, these are not men that are doing this. These are other women. And that's the story, because for us in this Me Too movement, we were all supporting each other, but we still also sacrifice each other at times. There's one, like you said, there's one place in the boardroom. There's not enough room for female directors. So we have to compete. But with this, I really wanted to show that the sacrificer can also become the sacrifice, but also can be someone who helps other women.
And yes, and you were already a filmmaker. You said this is your first narrative.
This is my first. Well, I was doing commercial stuff, and I was casting. I was acting. I was doing voiceover stuff. That's what where I've writing, and that's where I've come to this. And now I only want to be directing really cool content for brands too, like just stuff that tells the truth.
Yeah. And as a producer, did you have you? It's going to sound like a leading question, but have you found yourself often being the only woman in the room?
Absolutely. The reason that I started my own company was a response to my experience in Los Angeles of, you know, on the acting side, which was short-lived, but it was every time I was called into a room, it was wear the short skirt and wear the heels and get all dolled up. And I finally said, I don't want to do anymore. Send me out for some more substantial roles.
Yeah.
My agent stopped calling. And but then as a producer, which is where I spent most of my time out there, it was there were men in male positions telling the woman, this is what the actor should wear, and this is how she should say that line, and this is probably how she's thinking. And there was just a lack of perspective. And yes, I was usually the only woman in the room on the set. And but I saw women that really wanted to work and were super talented, but their resume, did they have enough on their resume to get taken seriously? And I would vow to myself in that moment when I started my company, I want to champion women in film. I want to give women writers the opportunity to get their work made and hire the women so they can start to build their portfolios that they're sitting at the table with the men.
So when you made this film, did you make a conscious effort to have women involved in every aspect?
I was pretty insistent.
She was very insistent.
We had an all-female crew. Yeah, across the board, every woman that was on, every person that was on set, minus the two male roles, were women. Gaffers, grips, sound, roles that traditionally people would think, you know.
And the men loved it. Like, being there, they were like, wow, this is so cool. So it was a great experience for them, too.
Well, what was really interesting is one of the male actors on set said, you know, thank you for this experience, because I now see what it's like for you to be the only woman on a predominantly male set. So it was an interesting perspective.
It was really cool.
And also, can you just believe this is a conversation we have to have in 2018?
Yeah,
it's sad.
It is.
But hopefully we will, 10 years from now, when we talk again.
It won't even be remarkable.
Well, what's so funny is one of the women was like, yes, you guys are creating this content right now, but we've been trying to create this content for years. And like, I feel like it's frustrating to be having this conversation now, but it's also liberating that we have, that we're filmmakers in a period of time where we can maybe change the pair, you know, this, shift the narrative around it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And I will tell you as a white man,
sure.
and as a creator myself, I don't feel at all threatened. I mean, there are so many opportunities for people to be able to express their art these days.
Yes.
Whether it's in film or theater, where I work, or in podcasting, sure. The whole idea that there's a pie, and that if I give a piece to you, that means I don't get a piece. We'll just make another pie.
Right, I agree. And coming from that place too, it's so liberating, because then you go into these meetings and you're like, there's plenty of room for everyone, and you can just, it's a collaborative, right?
Yeah.
I think that we're all sort of like supporting one another.
Yeah. And you know, here in Charlottesville, especially at the 2018 Virginia Film Festival, we've been forced by circumstances and history,
sure,
to re-examine our assumptions about tradition and the way things have always been, because so many of these conversations, it turns out that the reason we do things this way is because we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
So it takes something like a disruptive movement to come in and shake things up. But then when you're done shaking things up, you look around and you realize well, this is the way we should have been doing it all along.
Right.
Well, and it's also that idea, too, of, you know, let's start, we should be fighting for something before we are forced to start fighting for it. And I think that, you know, someone had mentioned that some of these movements were really, really hot years ago. And then because we didn't feel like we had to fight for something, we just kind of went back to status quo and we're acting up. And now all of a sudden things have happened in society and our country. They're now forcing us to have to stand up. And, you know, we need to stay at that level all the time. We need to be consciously aware of it at all moments, not just when we're forced to.
And that's why it's such an honor to have the Women in Film panel and to be part of it, because we're keeping the conversation going. And these women were so hungry, even the ones asking questions, just to keep talking about it and figuring it out and mining it for ways to prevent it from going back to status quo. And I think right now all of this stuff is in upheaval, but it's figuring out how to create almost a construct to it. To regulate the change, if that makes sense. And Free the Bid is helping in advertising with women. And also, thankfully, more directors, female directors, are being hired.
Yeah. So, and it's exciting.
It is exciting.
It's exciting. All the new work that might not have been made before, or if it was made, would have been made completely differently.
Yes.
You know, as aficionados of art, we should be excited at all the new work that is coming.
Well, and it's not just making the work, too. It's festivals like this that are creating a vehicle for people to see and consume the work. You know, the programming that festival programmers do and the films that they choose to put out there is what now the city of Charlottesville has access to. So I think that there's a lot of kudos that go to the programmers and the organizers to choose that content. Because we can make it, but if no one's choosing it and deciding to put it out there, too, that's part of the...
Well, that's beauty, being able to come to things like the Virginia Film Festival. What are your plans for LAM after this weekend?
Well, we're trying to find partnership for it. So we, you know, we're trying to find a production company like a Hello Sunshine, which is Reese Witherspoon's company, or just find some females or males to just sort of take it and push it out there to a larger audience. It's a really powerful piece, so we want to be really selective about who we work with in regards to like the right partnership. But that's, we're just looking for a team.
And it was created to spark conversation. So it's whether it is getting it out there to college and women's programs or other organizations that this message impacts what they do, or their audiences need the message, or that need to start having that discussion. So we've, you know, there's women's conferences that are interested. There's government entities that have said, listen, we need to have a conversation within our own organization about women. And whether it's hiring women and just all the pieces of it, like this is something that we could show and start to spark that conversation.
And the fact that it's at the college tomorrow is really exciting, because I'm hoping that some of the college kids will come see it. Because going to the college campuses and being able to spark that conversation is important, too.
Which reminds me to mention that LAM is screening before. This changes everything. Saturday, 1 o'clock at PVCC at the Dickinson Theater. So everybody should come see the short, and everybody should come see the film following it.
Yes.
But if they have to make a hard choice and they're unable to come see the film, how can people find out about it? Do you have your own website or social media campaign set up?
I do. On
go ahead. It's at LAM, underline thing. The
underscore.
Film. Underscore. At LAM underscore the film on Insta. And we will put it online eventually once we roll it out. And we'll share that information there.
Oh, yeah, but don't see it online. Go see it on the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely. And Life Out Loud Films will always have updates as well, because we're on all the social. So,
excellent. So you're both Atlanta-based filmmakers. So you left L.A.
I left L.A. and actually I just, I work in Virginia now and Atlanta. So just moved to Atlanta a few months ago. But I've been based in Virginia for 10 years now. We're very blessed that our last three feature films were at this festival, you know, over the last 10 years. And so we've made them in Smith Mountain Lake and... Orange County, we did Coming Through the Rye.
Okay, mention something, because I think this is maybe why your name is familiar to me.
David Baldacci, Wish You Well.
Okay.
Lake Effects with Jane Seymour, which is on Hallmark. And then
Coming Through the Rye,
which is shot in Woodbury Forest in this area. So,
all right. So you're splitting time between Virginia and Atlanta?
Sharing time. Sharing time. I still, our next film, Shoeless Wonders, is about a true story in Lynchburg, Virginia, that we are just finishing up the funding right now and hope to make next fall. So I'm still here.
That's terrific.
Always.
I mean, you're just working all the time.
Yeah. Where am I? What day is it? Yeah. You know, I do what I love to do, and I know you do too, so it doesn't feel like work.
And yeah. Caroline, what are you... Are you working on another project right now?
I am. It just like came to me the past... I was in LA speaking to a manager about one of his clients who's in male purgatory after being in trouble for some assault stuff.
Is that what we're calling it now? Male purgatory?
Well, yeah. I think it should be called male purgatory. I think it's really interesting. And like Louis C.K. just got up with, I think, the Comedy Cellar in New York. And people were like, it's not time yet. Yeah. It can't get up yet. And it's this conversation of like, how long do men stay in this? What does it feel like to be in this? And what can they teach the next generation about what this feels like? And also having empathy. I read an article by Rosanna Arquette this morning about the We Too movement. And she's like, we've got to get to the core of why these men did this and where they came from and why they thought it was okay. And being able to explore that in filmmaking, I think, is powerful because that's the impetus for change and getting to the core of the problem instead of just, you know, dealing with the aftermath of it.
And as your film points out, it wasn't just men who were enabling this behavior.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah. So do you think, I mean, you're hoping to take this film around... Certainly had a conversation here at the Virginia Film Festival, but do you think the conversation is changing out there, elsewhere, across the country?
With women supporting women?
Yes.
I think we have to keep having it, because even like in our industry, we can support each other and hire women and do all this awesome stuff, but it's also about women. You know, what I said during the panel is like, we sacrifice each other all the time by commenting on a woman's weight or like how she raises her children and all these, we throw each other under the bus a lot as women. And I think we can sort of stop with that and or start with that and just sort of look at the dialogue we have around each other. So I think if we can start there, but I don't know if it's shifting in other places. We went to Indianapolis. Where was it? We've been traveling
Bloomington,
a lot.
Indiana.
Bloomington, Indiana.
Bloomington, Indiana.
And it was definitely like people were interested in what this had to say, and they're starting to do it and starting to support one another. But it's a slow, it's a slow progress of realizing it's awareness.
I think people are longing. What we're seeing too is people want to be to learn. How can I help? What can I do?
Yeah.
I know it's out there. Everyone's talking about it. But in Bloomington, Indiana, or in Charlottesville, Virginia, what can we do? And it's funny how that simple step of, you know, what can you do sitting in your home, whether it's Minnesota or Indiana, you know, having those steps. I think that's what we're longing to know.
That's a good question. What can we do?
Oh, you turn that around. You know, I think that there's one of the things we talked about too from our industry is seeking out the films that are made by women or mm-hmm. that are directed by women and going out and seeing them. And
yeah,
when you look at a lineup, it is.
And you fought so hard to have the female team and like, you know, the best person for the job, but also being able to see that female gaffer and like have her be interviewed and looking outside the box, the quote unquote box for, the female stories, and I don't know, I think that's a way to change it.
So how do you answer the argument, and I'm sure you're going to hear, that, you know, you're not hiring the best person for the job if you're not hiring on merits if you're deliberately going out and mm-hmm. hiring women just to do these jobs?
We're not. So for Lamb, we did, because we were making a point, and mm-hmm. we wanted to show that it could be done. But I don't think either of us are setting out to say that we want all female careers. I know we don't, because mm-hmm. there also needs to be a balance. A lot of times, I think Ryan Coogler really said it best, is he's like, yeah, I have a male director, but I want a female editor to balance it out. And I feel the same. But with that said, I think that we're not asking that you hire women. We're asking that you at least put a woman into the pool, look at her fairly, and then pick the best person mm-hmm. for the
job. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if two people are equal, who's going to balance out your crew, your perspective?
It's
not
really
just gender.
Yeah, it's personality, I feel like, who balances out and who actually believes in the project. Like this project, as Sarah Elizabeth got these women to donate their time. I mean, a lot of them didn't work for money. They just worked because they were so passionate about the film. So that's another reason why we got the female crew, because they could stand behind it, because they really, they understood the mission.
Well, the best person for the job isn't always the, it's not always the technical part of it. It has to be there.
Right.
Sometimes what puts you over the edge is the attitude. I mean, we're long, long 16 plus hour days for a month at a time for a feature film or more. You want to make sure that there's the balance. But we're not at all saying it should be all women, but give them a chance.
Yes, and you also don't want to be, we don't want to create a second industry, you know. You don't want to be lumped in as minority filmmakers with, you know, special interest films. You're just making films.
Right,
yeah.
And you're just telling stories.
Right.
And they're stories that anybody should and would be interested in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for giving us this much time after you just came off the panel this morning. The short film, Lamb, screens one more time before This Changes Everything at PVCC at 1 o'clock on Saturday. I've been joined by writer-director Carolyn Slaughter, producer Sarah Elizabeth Timmons. Thank you so much for coming by. What are you looking forward to between now and screening of your film?
I can't wait to see This Changes Everything.
Okay.
I'm so excited about seeing that. So, and I'm privileged to have Lamb show before it.
I feel the same, but it's fall in Charlottesville, and the leaves have all just changed, and I'm just really
just
like embracing being out here.
Excellent. Thank you both very much. Thank you, Facebook Live audience. You can catch all of our podcasts and Facebook Live videos on virginiafilmfestival.org/podcast and also on cevillepodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in.